Broadcasting from Foothill College, this is KFKC Los Altos Hills.
Celebrating Delia Derbyshire's 82nd birthday.
Mason Hoffman Raggett.
I'm worried.
Perfect subjunctive. Mine's in Dutch.
And sweet, preposterously vacuous and simultaneously arrogant, rowdy, musical, illiterate, lover, scruffy,
John Doyle.
Hello, we're making a sort of record for the BBC which features Bridget St. John and Ron Geeson and Sweet Marriage and the Radiophonic Workshop and White Noise, and I was told to try and think of all kinds of profound reasons why we are doing it, but I don't in fact have any reasons, so just listen to it instead. And try and work out your own reasons. And it has been said by very reliable critics that I have the most boring voice in British radio, although Pete Drummond and Mike Raven will contest this very strongly. I have a letter here which says, at a time when the BBC is claiming the need to economise, I find it monstrous that anyone who could make such preposterously vacuous and simultaneously arrogant pronouncements on rowdy musical literates should be kept on his payroll. Preposterous and scruffy moron. Another lovely description.
Come back to me, and your warm body will be too whole.
Again to the ground, but I'm just as high in a rut looking up as I was on a cloud looking down.
wasn't a stormy sea, but was a frightening sea. And I had this sensation that I was going to drown. I disappeared under the sea. And I would surface again. And I would start to drown again. And I would surface again, come up again. Then I would go down into the water. And I had this sensation that I was going to drown. And it was frightening and suffocating.
My clothes were dragging me back.
It was all around me, this water. I didn't like it.
And I began to feel very frightened.
It seemed to go down and down and down.
My clothes were dragging me back.
It was very dark and very deep.
The sea is very deep.
I seem to be drowning.
I am going to drown. And I thought, well, it's no use trying to think I'm not going to drown. I am going to drown.
And it was frightening and suffocating.
No reflection in the water.
I was in the water. And it was a feeling as though the water was coming towards me.
And I began to feel very frightened.
And being that I can't swim and afraid of water, it seemed a greater fear.
And then I would go down into the water and the sea seemed vast and there weren't many waves. It wasn't a stormy sea, but it was a frightening sea. And they were sort of bluey colours, bluey-greeny colours.
And it was all colours like the rainbow, as if there was a light shining behind it.
And then I would shout and say, I won't do it, I won't do it. And I would surface again.
I saw a cloud of spray rising high up into the air. And it was all colours like the rainbow, as if there was a light shining behind it. I saw a cloud of spray.
And I had this sensation that I was going to drown. And I would surface again. And I would start to drown again. And I would surface again, come up again. Then I would go down into the water. And I had this sensation that I was going to drown. And it was frightening and suffocating.
It was all around me, this water. I didn't like it.
And I began to feel very frightened.
I must tell my mother.
All I can remember is falling into the water. It was very dark and falling down, down, down. It was very dark and very deep. I seemed to be drowning.
I must tell my mother.
My clothes were dragging me back.
The sea is very deep. I go into the sea and then I go right down to the bottom and there's some land there. The land at the bottom of the sea.
Very still, it's flat. No reflection in the water.
Lovely clear water. The water looked to be rather sort of bluey.
I didn't like it. And suddenly all this water became
full of other people and other things all falling, full of other people and other things all falling, all going downwards the same as I was, and chairs and tables and things like this. And all these people were all floating downwards through this water, chairs and tables and things like this, and I put my arms up and tried to catch hold of them.
And I began to feel very frightened.
I was in the water, and it was a feeling as though the water was coming towards me. And being that I can't swim and afraid of water, it seemed a greater fear. And as I sort of pushed back, and I felt I was pushing back the water, so I felt the mud in my hands. And then I seemed to be clear the mud, which was really saturated with water. And as I pushed and pushed, so I came across something, and I was still pushing, and I knew it was somebody. And I felt them. I could feel the shoulders, then the face, and then I could feel this tin hat. And as I pushed the hat one side, the helmet one side, so I could see my youngest brother's face. And then I felt him, knowing a little about first aid and that, I felt him and felt down the body. And as I got to the hip, he more or less shuddered. And I could see by his face that he was in pain, even though he had the mud and stuff on it. I pushed the hat back and I thought to myself, I knew he's safe, he's alive. I must tell my mother.
He just wasn't, because he was dead.
He looked like him, but
he just wasn't, because he was dead. I just walked towards him. I just picked him up. And he wasn't anymore. And I couldn't think he was my baby. He looked like him, but he just wasn't, because he was dead.
I go into the sea. And then I go right down to the bottom, and there's some land there. I always die in the land. The land at the bottom of the sea.
A bank of a dozen oscillators, but one couldn't use them all at once. The first producer of Doctor Who, Verity Lambert, she had in her mind les structures sonores. I don't know whether either of you are old enough to remember this group from Paris. Their music sounded really electronic, but in fact they were all acoustic instruments. Verity Lambert could not possibly afford Les Structures Sonores from Paris, and because the radiophonic workshop was a below the line cost, she came to the radiophonic workshop, and the boss recommended Ron Grainer because he'd done something called Giants of Steam there earlier. Ron saw the visual titles, as usual, something like a black and white negative, And he took the timings and went away to his private beach in Portugal and wrote the score. And he came back with the score with sort of abstract things on, like wind clouds and sweeps and swoops and wind bubble, all sort of beautiful descriptions, but with a carefully worked out rhythm, and yeah, very, very subtle the way he wrote the rhythm. And so I got to work and put it all together. It was a magic experience. It was because I couldn't see from the music how it was going to sound. And it was just Ron's brilliant oral imagination. Because when he heard the results, oh, he was really tickling.
There are two sounds which make up the bass. One of them is this, which is a kind of swoop organ sound, which gives this grace note to the bass line. And then there's the plucked string sound, which is what you normally think of as being the bass line. That's a sample string pluck, and every so often you can hear very subliminally a sub-octave which has been mixed in to emphasise certain notes. And when you mix those two together, you get the bass line that we're all familiar with. Then there's the melody sound, which is all the manually operated swoops and individual notes off the wobulator cut together. And there's a couple of different elements overlaid here and put through delay and echo to glue it all together. Added to that, there are some high harmonics which emphasise the higher partials. And again, you can mix those two together.
What's that sound that we heard then?
We think it was probably this strange mouth organy thing which had keys on it, melodica, I think they called it. And the combination of the two actually makes it sound as if it's an acoustic. And I think that's one of the really incredible things about the Doctor Who thing. It was all electronic, but it sounds as if it's got an acoustic.
The rhythm is provided by a couple of tracks of filtered white noise.
This was in the graphics, the clouds seem to come towards you.
Yeah, we were trying to give it a sort of Doppler effect. So as it comes towards you, the pitch goes up and it goes behind you, and one of those tracks is forward, so you get a sort of pss noise with a hiss on it, and the other one was reversed, so it went but then we put echo on that as well, so you didn't get any sort of hard drop off ends.
And then we can slowly build it up from the bass line, track by track.
Just like being in a room with Delia, isn't it? It really is.
Trivial end of what I did. Yes, isn't it jolly? Yes. All those door knockers and doorbells and things. I think it's quite clever. Anyway, you can hear I'm tickled pink.
Maybe when you see something really beautiful in the country, or read beautiful words or hear them, then I think you feel an echo within yourself, deep. Then I believe that could be what I believe is God. When I see something beautiful, that's a moment or perhaps a second. I feel it within me, deep. It's as though that's a moment I can take out of everything. It stands out. But it's when you're very quiet, perhaps, or by yourself, not when you're with anybody else. But on the other hand, I have felt it, yes. Being with some certain person for no reason, it just seems to happen. Something that happens in a second.
It's a feeling which one gets very, very occasionally.
It's very difficult to put into words.
I am much more aware of it when I'm in wide open spaces, especially if you're standing on a height.
It's just an experience, a revelation.
It lifted up sort of feeling, you know, exalted.
It's a feeling of oneness with nature. Oneness with the universe.
It's a sort of impulse to prayer.
It's a wonderful feeling.
Very comforting.
I felt uplifted tremendously.
You feel that he is listening to your prayers.
I feel him. I feel him near.
Even here, as we sit here, we know he is with us and listening to us. He comforts us always, and that is why God is everywhere.
I think he is everywhere. But I think at moments when you pray, that is when you feel that God is here.
I see him mostly when I'm praying,
when I'm in wide open spaces,
when you see something really beautiful,
kneeling down in a church and praying,
when I see a nice country, hillsides, glens,
when I see a newborn baby,
or read beautiful words or hear them,
that is when you feel that God is here.
I see him in lots of ways, really. I see him in flowers and all that creation, you know.
The landscape, the trees, the flowers, the wild flowers, such as they are.
In beautiful objects.
In other people and in their behaviour and in their examples.
In the clouds. I can see him in the clouds.
In a thunderstorm, when the lightning strikes.
The way in which all the scientific laws are obeyed.
When I can feel something different, not made by man.
When I'm in a forest. When I'm enveloped by the trees.
When I see something with some action in it. When I see someone who's done something really marvellous for someone, someone who's been really sincere.
When I see a lovely sunny day.
When I am close to nature.
When I'm by the sea.
When you see new life, life coming into the world and life going out of the world.
Usually when I've been moved by something. Usually when I'm on my own or am sort of in myself.
In creation. With the world
things of the world and nature and in children and in all living creatures and animals.
The seasons, how everything is ordered.
Everything at the right time and the right season.
When you pray, that is when you feel that God is here.
It's a feeling which one gets very, very occasionally.
It's a wonderful feeling.
Very comforting.
It lifted up sort of feeling, you know, exalted.
It's as though that's a moment I can take out of everything. It stands out.
It's a feeling of oneness with nature, oneness with the universe.
It's a feeling of freedom.
It's just an experience, a revelation.
It's very difficult to put into words.
It's just something that comes, his divine presence.
You feel that he is listening to your prayers.
Even here, as we sit here, we know he is with us and listening to us. He comforts us always, and that is why God is everywhere.
I think he is everywhere. Whatever happens, I always feel God is with me.
Thank you. most of the programmes that I did were either in the far distant future, the far distant past, or in the mind. I think this was the climax of a science fiction play called The Prophet. It ended up with all these robots, and they sang a song of praise to this bloke, presumably the prophet, and this was the song they sang. It is difficult to pronounce because it's made from backwards chanting, and I think if you play it forwards it would say something like, praise to the master, his wisdom and his reason. And I just chose the best bits, and ziuzi ziuzi, his whiz, his whiz. It's that backwards. And I must say that the ooh, ooh, ooh is electronic. I think it was at the same time as one of the Beatles songs, Please, Please Me. And so that was like, I think Drew said he thought it sounded medieval. Well, that was because it was like a new religion, and they'd go back to square one, and the perfect fifth, as the Greeks did. And so my ooh-ooh-oohs were done on the wobulator, which was used very much, say, for example, in the Doctor Who music. My last birthday card. There's a lovely one from America with a whole shoal of fishes with their mouths turned down, fishes in silhouette, and one fish running, swimming the other way.
That's you, is it?
Yes, well, with a smile on its face, and printed on the card was, to an independent thinker.